Open the Blinds, Let Me See Your Face, written by Lie Smith and read by Flower Parish. This is a Ted Lasso fic, rated for mature audiences, featuring the relationship Keely/Roy/Jamie. Abridged summary. Sometimes you get distracted dating a venture capitalist for a couple of months, and suddenly your ex-boyfriends are BFFs and spend all day together and have sleepovers and text all day, and somehow it isn't weird at all.
Are you really gonna talk about timing in times like these? Let all your damage me, carry your baggage up my street, make me your future history. It's time you've come a long way. Open the blinds, let me see your face. You wouldn't be the first renegade to need somebody.
This is such a bad idea, Keely breathes. She's tugging on his hair as she says it, urging him on. He hums his assent into the silky skin of her thigh. So bad. The fucking worst, Roy agrees, because there's a reason he stopped doing casual hookups even before they got together, and they haven't even properly talked. He doesn't know where they stand, but fuck it. He's been lonely. Keely's other hand is caressing his face, and just the touch of her fingers curling against his chin makes him feel loved. He drinks in the sound of her hums filling his ears, the pressure of her sock-clad heel nudging against his back, the smell of her overpowering. Haven't got a condom, he forces himself to say, out of sheer fucking politeness and more than a bit reluctantly. He doesn't want to jerk off over her lovely soft tits. He doesn't want a blowy. He dreads the thought of getting up and stuffing his aching dick back into his jeans and going to check if he's got a packet somewhere in his car that hasn't expired. He just wants to bury himself inside her, and he wants Keely to kiss him, and he wants her to look him in the eye the whole time, and it's such a fucking stupid idea they're doing this. Roy loves stupid ideas. Can we still? He asks. I didn't, like, plan. Come up here. Keely tugs him up and he goes, settling himself with his hips pressed against her leg, nose to nose. Her hair smells floral, her eyes are laughing at him, and the feeling of her body so close is driving him fucking insane. It's so fucking sexy when you talk about feelings, you know? I love you. He says it just to see the way it brightens up her whole face, her bright eyes crinkling at the corners. Shit, babe, like that really does it for me. Great, I mean it. Can we fuck? He sounds desperate to his own ears. 'Cause, you know, it's fine if you... He stops because she's taking his hand in hers and leading his finger up between her legs. Feel that, Keely whispers, like Roy could possibly miss it, like he isn't about to come in his pants just from the feeling of her warm, flushed skin and the smell of her sodden, wet cunt. It's been fucking forever, okay? Emotional availability. It's so hot. And then she's laughing and he's laughing, and she kisses him like she's trying to capture every sound from his mouth, hooking her legs behind his back as she squeezes his cock with her cunt as he thrusts inside her, barely letting him pull out enough to slide back in. It's all soft and shallow and lovely, slow rocking movements as she grips his shoulders with her tiny hands and smiles in the crook of his neck. Some real romantic shit. But I mean it, though, Keely says, even as she's all pink-cheeked and sweaty from her first orgasm. Roy, you're so fucking hot and I missed you so much, but this is such a bad idea. Yeah, I know, Roy says, because he means it too, but he kisses her anyway. Anyway, the point is, they aren't back together. Roy has missed Keely like an ache in his chest, and he loves her, and he's so fucking lucky she still wants him around. But she's even busier now than she was 8 months ago, restructuring her firm and selecting new staff and 1,000 more admin things on top of her usual projects. It's a lot. It gives Roy a headache just thinking about it. He doesn't want to make it worse. Besides, he's trying a new thing called becoming a more stable fucking person. Supposedly, that means he should try to channel the relentless drive that once made him a highly competitive athlete into an adequate investment in all areas of his life, instead of flipping between obsession and apathy, like he's playing the world's most dysfunctional light switch. If there's a secret to it, Roy still hasn't unlocked it. But if fucking Colin Hughes manages to juggle a football career and a semi-serious relationship, there's no reason why Roy can't get there too. At some point. Eventually. He's working on it. For now, he's texting Keely most days and they talk when she comes around the club to see Rebecca. Briefly, because she's all but sprinting on those sharp heels when he runs into her, and clearly looks like she's got about 12 other things she should be doing instead. It sounds like she's got 17 meetings a day, and about a dozen as many emails to deal with, but she seems happier and a lot more confident than he remembers from the few weeks before their breakup. A few days after the letter, and okay, the hookup, Roy shows up at Keely's house to surprise her with takeaway dinner, and they eat together at her kitchen table. It's nice and comfortable and good. Roy looks at Keely and he feels at home, but it's not as overwhelming as it used to be, back when it felt like he didn't have a thing in the world worth sticking around for except to make Keely happy, almost as if he didn't exist unless she was there looking at him. This is better, he thinks, vaguely, reaching out to brush her hand across the table. What are you doing tomorrow? Break's almost over, right? Yeah. Roy nods around his forkful of chicken and pours himself some water as he explains that they're going to watch Jamie play his second match with England. Isaac's coming, and a couple of others. Goodman, O'Brien. Beard's coming, too. Roy hadn't expected that, but Beard seemed very keen to watch Jamie, actually. Then we're going to the pub and celebrate. Yeah, what if they lose? Her tone is teasing, her foot nudging at his shin playfully under the table, but it's no laughing matter. Roy scowls. They better fucking win. They're playing Estonia. Then a thought hits him. Jesus, can you imagine Tart if they lose? He'd be fucking insufferable. He gets distracted thinking about it, the way Jamie looks like a kicked puppy when he's sad. Jamie has done well for himself in his first match, but he's probably still a bit nervous. Maybe I should text him. Roy shoves another bite into his mouth and looks up to find Keely's eyes on him. What? I didn't know you even had Jamie's number. He's my player. Of course I've got his number. To be fair, he's barely used it in the last 6 months. Back when Roy had been Richmond's captain and Jamie an insufferable pain in the arse, he'd used to get Goodman to play go in between, the better to keep the peace. Now that he's thinking about it, he never really thanked Jeff for it. Maybe he should buy him drinks tomorrow. Never mind that, he says. Tell me about you. Still meetings all day? Yeah. Keely makes a face. We need to hire some people. Barbara did the interviews, but she wants me to sit in on all the final ones tomorrow, and then there's that sunglasses campaign. We're shooting the advert next week. Roy loves how lively she gets as she talks, how passionate she looks. After dinner, he offers to tidy up while she gets ready for bed, since she's dead on her feet and he's basically had the whole week off. I can stop by and bring you breakfast tomorrow, he says as he's about to leave. He kisses her lips, her chin, the side of her nose. Her hand is tangled in his shirt collar. Or I can stop by and make you breakfast, if you want. Then he realizes how that sounds. Not in a smothering way, like it's just, I got used to doing it for Jamie, it's no trouble, if it makes your life easier. Keely's hand lets go of his shirt. She takes a step back and blinks up at him. You make breakfast for Jamie? After morning training, he explains. Not always, sometimes. Like, if we're out by Richmond Park or at the club, we just get something to eat. Okay, Keely says slowly. Well, I can't say I'm mad you and Jamie are getting on better. Cheers to that. So that's a yes or no to breakfast. Yeah. Keely smiles, and she pulls him in to get in one last goodnight snog. As Roy drives away in his car, he catches himself feeling strangely light. Who the fuck would have thought, he thinks, sort of amazed. Maybe life's looking good. Sometimes it feels like Jamie is spending the whole break taking dumb fucking selfies. Roy gets them by the dozen, from St. George's Park and the Wembley dressing room, alone and with the lads and with some of the staff. He even gets one with Jamie's mum, who came down to London for the first match and apparently popped in to say hi. They're both smiling wide, with matching grins and matching England shirts, and Roy finds himself staring at it for a long time, feeling something he can't quite place. He has to stand up and pace a few steps around the room, a perfectly normal fucking reaction, And then Phoebe catches him at it and asks, "Why are you smiling like that?" All alarmed-like. And naturally, Roy has to show her, and by the time he puts Phoebe to sleep that night, he's got three more of them. Fucking hell. Roy's phone gallery is quickly filled with pictures of Jamie, with approximately everyone on the England team, from the attacking coaches to the chefs to the PR lads. It makes sense, really. Jamie is one of the friendliest people Roy has ever met, now that he's stopped making an effort to be the most annoying fucking prick in the league. People like him wherever he goes, whether they want to or not. On the day of Jamie's second match, he sends Roy a picture he took that morning with the equipment manager, who, as Jamie helpfully explains, helped him plan Roy's gift. "Send us a pic of you wearing it," Jamie texts, and Roy doesn't even think about it, just types, "Play in the World Cup and I will." Later, though, he sends a picture of himself and Isaac in their Wembley seats, Goodman squeezed in at the side of the frame. Jamie doesn't see it for hours, fucking obviously, but Roy knows as soon as he does. His phone buzzes in quick succession, screen lighting up. Looking fit. For real, didn't know you could take pics where you don't look murderous. Or did Isaac take it? You saw me, right? Shut up and go celebrate, Roy texts back, and then he adds, good job. He's still staring at the screen, debating if he wants to say something more, asking Jamie if he wants to do something when he gets back, maybe, but gets distracted when O'Brien asks if he wants another round. Normally, Roy knows better than trying to keep up with 20 fucking somethings in a fucking pub crawl. But Beard's here too, and Roy can't very well be the first one to call it a night, can he? Sure, why the fuck not? Roy puts his phone back in his pocket. But I'm buying, yeah? Roy has had a set of keys to Jamie's house since January, after that time the little twat almost got himself locked out. Jamie hasn't got a key to Roy's because Roy never fucking goes anywhere anyway. Jamie's own words, those. But he knows the gate code, and he's taken to showing up whenever he feels like it, leaving his shit all over the place like he thinks Roy's his cleaner. At this point, Roy has lost count of how many stupid headbands, overpriced sports bottles, and bright spare socks he finds lying about. Then there are the fancy pillowcases, something about friction and hair breakage, and how it's just so much better for hair, actually, and Roy still isn't sure the little shit wasn't just taking the piss. And the fancy products in the guest bathroom, and all the jackets and hats and shit that Jamie sheds and forgets to put back on. It feels a bit like plucking stray cat hairs out of Phoebe's clothes. The first time Keeley comes over after they start sort of maybe seeing each other again, she takes a turn around his house and comments that it looks more lived in than at any point in their relationship. "It's like an actual human being lives here now. I'm so proud of you, babe." She frowns. "Wait, did you fire your cleaner?" "Funny," Roy says, as Keeley picks up one of Jamie's discarded headbands from wherever the fuck and wraps it around her wrist a few times like an elastic. She hangs her jacket next to one of Jamie's bright-branded monstrosities, then turns to give Roy a look that's all arched eyebrows. "That's not mine," he says quickly, just in case she starts thinking that his foray into colored clothes extended all the way to eye-blighting Nike gear. In the kitchen, she clocks the mug Jamie got him right away. "That's new." She sounds amused. Roy doesn't need to turn around to know what it is she's looking at. It's black, and the writing on it says, "Do I look like I rise and shine?" Jamie looked proper pleased with himself when he'd presented Roy with it, and his sister thought it was fucking hilarious. Judging by her face, so does Keeley. "Yeah, yeah," he says. "Help me set the table. I opened a bottle of Amarone. You'll have to tell me if you like it." Supposedly, it goes well with coq au vin. He's struck by the sudden thought that maybe he's doing too much. This isn't a date, exactly, but it's not a not-date either. It's just dinner. They haven't talked yet. Until Keeley's job is less crazy, until Roy's got a better idea of what the rest of the season will look like for Richmond, a couple of weeks, maybe. They're taking it slow, and they're having dinner, and he enjoys listening to Keeley talk in excited tones about all the crazy shit that goes down at her job. They'll probably watch some telly together later, something dumb and fun, and kiss slowly on the couch like they're fucking teenagers. Sex isn't off the table, but isn't looking likely. Roy doesn't even know if it'd be a good idea, really. but he still changed the sheets and scrubbed the bathtub clean, because you never know, and maybe there's something to be said for optimism after all. They're 5 minutes into dinner when the doorbell rings. The actual doorbell, not the gate. Roy checks the front camera feed on his phone out of habit, but there's only one person it could be. The fuck are you doing here? Jamie's bright grin only gets bigger. He shoves his way in past Roy without a care in the world. I brought those lemon pastry things you pretend you don't like. I figured, you had dinner yet? Fuck, that smells amazing. What is it? Tart, what are you doing here? Just got back into town, didn't I? Jamie says. Like, that explains it. Like, of fucking course, the first thing he'd do after his triumphant return from his first England call-up is stop on the way to Roy's house to buy pastries and bring them over. It was great, he says, fiddling with restless energy. I was great too, weren't I? Fuck, I've got to tell you so many things. Roy? That's Keely's voice, of course, the sound of her footsteps drawing closer. Roy catches the way Jamie's shoulders square back as his spine straightens, the slow smirk tugging at his face. Would you look at that, he says, just as Keely walks in. Hey, Keely. Jamie, hi. Her voice is just as warm as her smile, betraying the smallest hint of confusion. Congrats. Jamie brought pastries, Roy says, for lack of anything better. I'll take them. Give it here. You want dinner? He's keenly aware of Keely's eyes on him, like she's trying to read the situation. The look on Jamie's face, like he can't decide if he wants to laugh or he regrets being here at all. So, am I crashing your date? Jamie asks lightly. Roy draws in a breath. You aren't crashing. He is, Roy cuts Keely off. You are crashing. But it's not a date. We're just... He's still holding Jamie's box of pastries, which he should take to the kitchen if they're going to have dinner first. We're trying things out. Sit down, I'll bring you a plate. When he returns, Jamie is telling Keely that he's glad she's looking happier and asking about the business restructuring with what sounds like genuine interest. But then he takes a good look at the dish in front of him, and his eyebrows almost disappear under his stupid highlighted hair. This is date food, mate. He looks from Keely to Roy. You sure you don't want me to fuck off? Shut the fuck up and eat. I always make too much. You know that. It's fine. The good thing is, Keely and Jamie get along as well as they always have. They play off each other beautifully. He makes her laugh. It's fucking brilliant, and it avoids most of the awkwardness. But Roy can tell Keely's dying to ask questions that she doesn't want to voice with Jamie around, and Jamie's just buzzing to tell everything about every single moment of the last week, as if he hadn't sent Roy about 500 texts about it already, but he doesn't want to bore Keely with the football talk. Not wanting to make the conversation about himself, now that's the most untart thing Roy's ever witnessed. Luckily, Keely's stories are entertaining. She's been broken up with her posh twat of an ex for long enough that she finds some humor in telling stories about upper-class shits she met while they dated, and Jamie soaks it all in with bright-eyed enthusiasm. They finish off the wine together, nibbling on the pastries Jamie brought, which are great and tiny enough that even Jamie, after some hesitation, takes a second helping. It's 9:30 when Keely stands up and announces she's leaving. Early morning tomorrow and everything, and you can talk about football things now, yeah? She walks around the table to kiss Jamie's cheek, then ruffles his hair affectionately. I'm so happy for you, Jamie. You deserve it. She looks at Roy. Come on, walk me out. And okay, so he isn't getting laid tonight. It was always a long shot anyway. But the unexpected fun of a dinner with both Keely and Jamie sort of makes up for it. Talk tomorrow, he says at the door, and Keely nods. Yeah, tomorrow at... No, can't do lunch. Can you ring me when you're done for the day? Sure. He nods, and she tilts her chin up to kiss him. When you said you were getting along with Jamie, you really weren't kidding, were you? Whatever, he growls. I have no idea how it fucking happened. Oi, don't pretend you don't like it now. And I'm not teasing. I think it's cute. I'm not going to say I told you so. Good, don't, Roy says, and she laughs and hugs him tight, and he brushes his mouth on the top of her head and presses a soft kiss there. It's stupid how many of the little things he missed. The smell of her shampoo, the tickle of her laugh. Have fun with Jamie, yeah? Keely says as she lets go, and is still grinning at him as she leaves. When he walks back into the dining room, he finds that Jamie's almost done clearing off the table. Just load the dishwasher. I've got to do this pan by hand, he tells him. And start talking. I can see you're fucking dying to. Come on. I am, yeah. Jamie gives him a long, careful look. When did that happen? Nothing happened, Roy says, lying. Come on, go ahead. Can't believe I have to beg you to talk about yourself. That gets a grin out of Jamie. He sits down at the kitchen table, drumming his fingers on the wood. No, seriously, it was great. Everyone's so fucking nice. Mushy shit, Roy grumbles, but he's smiling. Jamie deserves that. A solid team at his back, a friendly environment. He fucking thrives in it. I got your 500 fucking pictures, by the way. You annoy everybody there. They fucking loved me, actually. He says it with all of his usual cockiness, but his smile is soft. And Henderson says hi. Who the fuck cares about him? Roy says, impatient. I want to know about you. Aw, Jamie coos. Yeah, fair. So, first of all... It's well past midnight by the time Jamie's finished telling Roy everything. Or everything he can think of right now, at least. Sometimes Jamie went all quiet, and Roy thought he might be done, only to jump up 5 seconds later with a, "Wait, actually, I forgot." And then he was off again, and Roy found he was enjoying himself too much to even tease him about it. But now, even Jamie's run out of steam, apparently. They're both yawning around the table, and Roy's already thinking that he wouldn't mind going to sleep right about now, when Jamie's voice breaks the comfortable silence. So, you had fun when I was gone? No, it was fucking boring. But Phoebe made me 3 more of that shirt so I can wear them every day, and 2 more with different colors. Lovely, Jamie says. But I meant, like, Keely. We're trying things out, I told you. It's fine. If I wanted you to fuck off, I'd have fucking said so. Jamie's eyebrows knit together like he's trying to make sense of something. That's good, that. But he's still picking at his sleeves, twisting his mouth like he's about to spit something out. He waits. Then Jamie says, "Seriously, Roy, are you going to..." His jaw snaps closed. He swallows the words back. Roy watches his throat move. "What?" Roy asks. He's sort of an expert these days in translating Jamie Tart's brand of mumbling idiocy, but he can't make sense of why he'd look like that today of all days. He's supposed to be... radiating happiness, for fuck's sake. Dead fucking smug, not wary. Nothing. He waits. Jamie meets his gaze straight on, unblinking. Whatever, Roy says. Are you staying over? It's late. Jamie looks like he's thinking about it, but then he shakes his head. Better not. Right, he probably hasn't even unpacked yet. Probably came straight over. I'll see you at the club, yeah? Team training's at 10 tomorrow, Roy says, out of habit, even though there's no way Jamie wouldn't know. Come by at 8:30 and we can get breakfast before you go warm up. But I don't want to see you before that. Get some proper sleep. Sure, coach. Jamie stands up. So you're not doing breakfast with Keely? Roy scoffs. Did you listen to a single word Keely said? She's having breakfast with Barbara from the office over fucking photography portfolios or whatever. I did. Sounds cool, actually. Of course, Jamie would think that. He stands up as well, puts his hand on the back of Jamie's neck as he walks him to the door. You did great, you know that? Everyone thinks so. They can't wait to have you back. He swats Jamie's shoulder quickly before pulling him into a half hug. And thanks for coming by. It was fun. Yeah, Jamie says, strangely hesitant, like he wasn't also right fucking here for the whole evening. I mean, yeah, thanks for having me. Weird, Roy thinks, but limits himself to just rolling his eyes. Sure, go the fuck to sleep now. Can't wait, Jamie says, and he's grinning as he closes the door on his face. Roy goes upstairs to brush his teeth and get into bed, distractedly checking his phone and expecting to find a text or stupid fucking picture from Jamie at any time. He's become intimately acquainted with the look of Jamie's ugly headboard without ever actually setting foot in Jamie's bedroom, just from the sheer number of selfies Jamie sends that say shit like, "In bed by 9, coach," when they have early training. Instead, there's nothing new since the goodnight text Keely sent hours ago. Just a dozen group chat notifications, which Roy resolutely ignores as always. If Jamie was too knackered to even text before bed, he really should have insisted harder that he stay over. Fucking idiot, Roy thinks fondly. He's still smiling to himself as he falls asleep. The end.
should.